Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from the book of Jonah. We'll be reading from the third chapter of Jonah. We'll be looking at a little bit of Jonah next week as well, but this morning we're going to be looking at the third chapter of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 10, and it is found on page 801 of your pew Bibles. Oh, excuse me. Keep forgetting. It is actually found on page 845 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. The epistle reading for this morning will come from 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading from chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verses 29 through 31, and it is found on page 1044 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "I mean, brothers and sisters," says the Apostle Paul, "the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away." And our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1, we'll be reading from verses 14 through 20. And it is found on page 912 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to the Lord's word for us. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little further, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." The word of the Lord. Amen. The time is now. That's the message the Lord declares at the beginning of our gospel lesson this morning from Mark. We're told that after the Lord's baptism, when he hears the divine voice declare him to be the Son of God, and after the sojourn in the wilderness where he is tempted by the Satan, that Jesus goes to Galilee and he proclaims the gospel, the good news. And he begins by letting everyone know what time it is. The time, he says, is fulfilled. The time is now. Many of us who have been students of the Bible are aware that there are two types of time in the Bible. There is chronos time, And Chronos time is everyday time. It's the time that governs most of our lives. It's the time that is measured in days and weeks and months and years. 3 Sundays ago, we celebrated the beginning of the new year, the beginning of 2018, and all of that is Chronos time. That's the kind of time that we are celebrating whenever we celebrate New Year's. And the older I get, the faster Chronos time seems to go by. But the Bible also talks of another kind of time. It talks of what it calls Kairos time. And Kairos time is an opportune time. It's an urgent time, a significant time, a time for decision. Several years ago, 1989, when the Berlin Wall came down, that was a Kairos moment. It was a significant time, a time when people had to make a decision, and it was pivotal. It changed everything. Several years again, there was the time in South Africa when Nelson Mandela, I remember, was let out of prison and the whole society was changing. It was a Kairos moment, they called it. This is a moment from God. This is God breaking into our time and changing everything. It's a Kairos moment. And our text this morning is a Kairos moment. It is Kairos time. Jesus is proclaiming that the time is now, that everything is changing. The time has been fulfilled. It is now. Jesus says that the time is now because, of course, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world is already at hand. It has already come near. It's not just something that will happen in the future. It's not just something that will happen when we die, but the kingdom of God is already near. It is already close. It is already near because Jesus himself is the embodiment of the kingdom. And so Jesus says that the time is now. The kingdom of God is right now. And Jesus is going along the Sea of Galilee, the region of Galilee, and he is proclaiming that good news. It is the good news of the kingdom. Today, when we often talk about good news, we mean, you know, Jesus died for our sins. In Missouri, where I'm from, Southwest Missouri, that's what they say. Brother, have you heard the good news? And you might say, well, what is it? And they say, Jesus has died for your sins. And that is good news. That's wonderful news. But it's not the news. The good news that Jesus is bringing this morning. Jesus hasn't died for anyone yet. Yet he's proclaiming the gospel. Because for Jesus, the good news is the kingdom of God. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God. The kingdom that everyone's been waiting for and praying for. The kingdom that Mary, that we saw during Christmas, was waiting for. The kingdom that the shepherds in the fields were waiting for. Jesus says that kingdom is right now. That kingdom is at hand and it is already breaking into the world because Jesus has come to be in our midst. The time, he says, is now. And because the kingdom is already broken into our world, in the person of Jesus, Jesus tells us to do 2 things. He says to repent and believe. Repentance is one of those words, religious words, that carries a lot of religious freight in our society. But the word is not just about feeling bad. It's not just about being sorry for what we've done. It's not just about going around with the gloom and long face. But repentance is about turning our lives around. It's about moving in a whole new direction. It's about moving from darkness to light. It's about moving from death to life. It's about moving from the ways of the world to the ways of God. Often when we hear the word repent, we tend to zero in on certain kinds of behaviors or certain kinds of lifestyles. You know the kinds of behaviors I'm talking about. But when Jesus says repent, when he goes around talking about repenting, he's not just talking to obvious sinners, but he's talking to all of us. He's asking us to examine our deepest commitments and to examine the things that we have given our allegiance over to, the things that we believe bring us security and stability and happiness. He's asking us to look at all of those things, and he's asking us to change. He's asking us to orient our lives away from the things that we believe can sustain our lives, and he's asking us to orient our lives towards God. Orient our lives towards God's coming kingdom. And Jesus says that that kingdom is already at hand. It is already near. The time, he says, is now. A few days ago, we were here in this room and we were watching a film that John had bought for Martin Luther King Day, Eyes on the Prize. And the film was about the civil rights movement in Montgomery, Alabama. And it was interesting because there were some citizens there who said, the time is now. The time is now for us to tear down the walls that separate us. The time is now for us to treat all citizens as equal. The time is now. It has come. They were looking for change. And there were other citizens who said, no, the time is not now. There were other citizens who wanted to hang on to the world the way that it was. They wanted to hang on to their fears. They wanted to hang on to their prejudices. They wanted to hang on to their traditions, hang on to the things that gave their lives meaning. And that's true for us today, too. There are people who recognize that the time is now, that the kingdom of God is near. And there are others of us who want to hang on to the world the way that it is. We still want to hang on to our fears of a changing world, our fears of others. But the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, we need to repent, we need to change, unless we change our priorities, unless we change the way that we live, unless we change the way that we relate to one another, unless we change the way that we relate to the world, then we will not be able to see the kingdom. We will not be able to embrace God's kingdom because the kingdom is now. One of the things that has always interested me about this passage is the calling of the disciples. And we're reminded that the Lord's disciples are not superheroes. They're not super spiritual people. They're people like all of us. They go to work, they work hard, and they often struggle and often don't understand a whole lot about what Jesus is trying to tell them. But one of the things they seem to understand perfectly well is what time it is. They understand that the time is now because we are told that when Jesus calls them along the Sea of Galilee, that immediately they follow him. Immediately they put down what they are doing and they go and they follow Jesus. They leave behind their fishing nets, they leave behind their boats, they leave behind their livelihood. Some of them even leave behind their father. They leave everything behind and they go and follow Jesus. And we say to ourselves, what in the world could it have been that they would leave everything to go follow Jesus. That's not the way we would do it. That's not the way I would do it. I would say, wait a minute, Jesus, let me at least go back and to attend the business of my father, like the man says in the Gospels. Let me go attend to my father. But Jesus says, no, the time is now. I am calling you to follow me now. The kingdom of God cannot wait. It is now. And the disciples follow Jesus now, leaving everything behind. Remember when I was in high school, there was an evangelist who came to Springfield, and he had this great big tent that he set up on the corner of Glenstone and Cherry Street, and for 5 days he held a revival, and every day, I mean, it was a wonderful revival, lots of people, and I mean, he was a real fire and brimstone revivalist, and every day I went. One day I decided to get there early, right after school. It was about 3 o'clock. I got there early just so that I could see the setup, all kinds of bands and all kinds of people there who was a part of that organization, that evangelistic organization. And I remember talking to a group of young people and having dinner with one young couple, and they were telling me all the places they had been in the United States, and then they said they were going to go to India. And they said, brother, we feel that the Lord is calling you to come to India with us. And I said, well, the Lord hasn't said anything to me about that. And they said, we're going to take you to go see Brother Jim, and Brother Jim will confirm what we said. And so I went to see Brother Jim, the evangelist, and he said the same thing. The Lord is calling you to go to India. We're going to be going to India next month, and the Lord is calling you to come with us. And I said, well, I can't go to India because, you know, first of all, my mom's not going to let me. And I haven't even graduated from high school yet. I've got to wait till I graduate from high school. And he says, brother, the time is now. The Lord cannot wait for you to get permission or to graduate from high school. The time is now. Well, obviously, I didn't go to India. And I think maybe I let the Lord down. But I doubt that the Lord was calling me to go to India. Not that I didn't want to go. It sounded like a great adventure. But I don't believe the Lord was calling me to go to India. But the Lord was calling me, as the Lord is calling each and every one of you. The Lord is calling us, maybe not to go to India, but he is calling us towards the kingdom of God. He is calling us to orient our heart and our imaginations and our lives towards God's coming kingdom, the kingdom that is embodied by the Lord Jesus Christ, God's kingdom of love, God's kingdom of compassion, God's kingdom of mercy, God's kingdom of forgiveness, God's kingdom of reconciliation. He is calling each and every one of us into that kingdom. Maybe there are some of you this morning who are aware that there are things you need to do, that you need to move towards that kingdom. Maybe there are some of you who know that there is someone that you need to forgive. You've known that you've needed to forgive them, and maybe you've been planning to forgive them, but you've found it easier to hold on to your anger and hold on to your bitterness. But you know you need to forgive them, and if so, the time to do that is now. The time is right now to do that. There's no better time. It is now. Maybe there are some of you who know that you need to tell someone special that you love them. Maybe you've told them that before, but they haven't heard it from you in quite a long while, and you know you need to tell them that. Well, the time to do that is now. Time to do that is today, right now. Maybe some of you know that you need to be reconciled with someone, that you're estranged from people who are close to you, and you need to be reconciled to them. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do something about it right now. Well, the time is now. The time to begin to take those steps to be reconciled is right now. There's no better time than right now. The time is now because God's kingdom is still at hand. God's kingdom is close. God's kingdom is there, and God wants us, each and every one of us, to move towards his kingdom. And it's only by moving towards God's kingdom that we can have life, the abundant life that God wants each and every one of us to have. The time is now. It is right now, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the good news, the gospel that Jesus wants us to hear. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are calling us to be your people. You're calling us to give your kingdom the top priority in our lives. You're calling us to let go of the things that we believe can save us, whether it's our hyper-nationalism, whether it's our belief in the powers of ethnicity or race, whether it's belief in our money, our riches, whatever it might be. You are asking us to change, to turn our hearts and minds from those things, and to turn our hearts and minds to the one, the only one, who could bring us life. Help us to repent, Lord. Help us to move towards your kingdom, and help us to do that today, right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.